Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
And they've got him beat on the screen. Shakir racing, cuts it back, tries to shake a defender. He's got the first down. He's up the sideline. 35, 30, 20, and out of bounds at the 21-yard line. Steps up in the pocket. Pocket collapsing, and he's wrapped up, and he's going down for another sack. Way back at his 35-yard line. Four-man rush. Allen throws it over the middle. It's complete to Palmer. Hook and ladder, and they're going to get the first down. Up the sideline is Shakir, and he's out of bounds at the 26-yard line. The hook and ladder, baby. Allen back to pass, has to throw it down the middle, and it's intercepted.
All right, some of the sounds last night from Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday here at Studio Capaccio today. Glad you could join me. Got in last night, walked in the door, I believe, at 5 a.m. Went on with the guys and a couple hours later and tried to digest everything as quickly as possible from last night. Wrote arrow up, arrow down. You can find that at WGR550.com. And now it's time for a bit of a reset after, in a couple of ways, after that game and getting 10 days before the next one when it comes to the Buffalo Bills. And also here on the program, going to hour number two. So let's tell you, here on a Buffalo Football Friday, it is brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, call the eights, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel, game day ready since 1922. Good first hour. You can watch us on the stream, on YouTube, at WGR550. Thank you very much for everybody who's come in today. Had some fun interaction during the break with a lot of you, but back I go. Back to the phone lines we go, back talking with you. Paul Hamilton will join me here in this this hour at the bottom of the hour. And tonight, the Sabres are at home to take on the Chicago Blackhawks. And that will be a 7 p.m. puck drop with pregame at 6 here on WGR. Connor Bedard coming to town. We'll talk with Paul at the bottom of the hour and also ask him just the, going to do a little, comparison between the hockey team and the football team and how Terry Pegula has treated things over the years, since a lot of you are asking that. Let's go to Don in Southern California, who's up next. Hi, Don.
Good morning, Sal.
Good morning.
Hey, you and I are the same age, so we've been through the ups and downs of these Bills for quite some time. Hey, question for you. So, you know, what's the communication between Joe Brady and Josh Allen on the side? Never see a headset. You know, he says, what's going on? What do those two talk during when the defense is on the field?
I think I have seen them. You're right. I don't see a headset on them necessarily, but I think a lot of times the communication is really from Josh to Ronald Curry, his quarterback's coach, who's in constant communication with Joe Brady. And Josh with his backup quarterbacks, they're all kind of listening in a little bit. He has the ability to talk to him, and I think he does once in a while, but it's really more Josh, I think, talking with Ronald Curry, his quarterbacks coach, and other staff members while Joe Brady is, you know, formulating what's going on for the next drive.
I'm getting to the point where we need to go K-gun, let Josh just run the offense. And get us to where we need to be.
Yeah, Don, you know, Don, it's funny. I had somebody say this to me the other day, too, and I actually like the up-tempo. I do think that part of it would benefit the Bills. I thought they should have done that a little bit more last night. But let's just remember here, and I know it's easy to say, put Josh back there. He's a better play caller, let's say, than Joe Brady. It might seem like that. He's not the one game planning. He's not the one that is seeing the still pictures, what they're doing. He can identify stuff at the line of scrimmage. But to actually do that and to go into a series – you have to really understand what's going on. I'm not here to tell you it could never happen and work, right, Don? I am saying, though, I think there's way more that goes into it to think that it's that simple to be able to do. Do you know what I mean?
I got you. One last thing, Sal. I mean, next week is a must win. I mean, we got a tiebreaker loss now against the Texans. They're in the hunt. The Steelers will be the next one on potentially. We need this. We need this game next week, or else we're in trouble for the playoffs.
Yeah, you got.
That's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, you have two straight AFC North teams, and then an AFC East, and then another AFC North. You have your next four games, like the five in a row, counting last night, are AFC games. And if you're going to be in this wild card position, you better win these games for tiebreaker purposes. You're right about that, Don. Thank you for the phone call. We'll go to Nate, who's in St. Louis. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Sal, I got a question for you. You know, moving forward for next year, I hear a lot of other hosts talking about that, you know, that they're not going to make any changes up top. So, you know, what are we going to do in the offseason? How are we going to retool? You know, what changes are they to make? But it's just going back to the 2020 season of, you know, after that AFC championship game loss, you know, it's always been, what are we going to do in the offseason? What are we going to do next year? And I just oppose to you, like, what do you think do they need to change in that front office and the coaches wise, or if they're even capable to change, that we're going to see a different result? You know,
well, I don't know the result yet, Nate. Here's the problem with this conversation. It's not you. It's the whole thing that surrounds it. Everybody wants to get to January and make changes. How about we let's get to January? We don't know that they're going to miss the playoffs or get to the AFC Championship and lose or get to a Super Bowl and win, which is still possible. We don't know. I can't answer that until we know what happens there, right? If they'd miss the playoffs, sure, I'm all for it. You know, make a lot of changes because obviously the direction of the organization might need to change. I don't know. But I just think it's so much jumping the gun and putting the cart before the horse. Yeah, you can watch this team now and go, well, they ain't making it. They got to make changes. We're not there yet. There's 31 other teams going through the same process right now as the Bills, 31 others. And really far less than that who know they're going to be probably in the playoffs but have no idea, right? I don't know. I can't answer, and none of us can. And can we let the season at least try to play out? I know it doesn't seem great right now. It's 7-4, which is weird to say, right? 7-4. A lot of teams would love to be that. They're 7-4. They're in a playoff spot right now. I don't know. They could get to the playoffs and play Indy and Denver and match up well and go on a run. I don't know. It's unlikely. Not telling you it's likely. Why is everybody so quick to make changes in February when it's November? Because you have you have an idea of what's going to happen, but we don't know what's going to happen. And that's always the issue that bothers me about this conversation. You know, I mean, what are they going to do about next year? Well, when next year happens, wait till next year. What are they going to do in January? Wait till it happens. I don't know. Let's see how it plays out. You know, I mean, yeah, you can look at salary cap and all these decisions have to be made. Well, guess what? Between now and next year in March for salary cap, even more things will happen that you have to start deciding what is best or not best for the roster. You can't make decisions about March right now. You can't make decisions about February right now or January. If you want to make a change now, you can do it. If Terry Pegula wanted to fire the head coach or the GM now, he could do it. If the head coach wanted to fire the offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, he could do it. You could do those things. But we're talking about, like, at the end of the season changes? Then let's wait till the end of the season. Let's go to Nikki in Connecticut. Hi, Nikki.
Hey, guys. Hey, Sal. Thank you for taking my call, man. I need this therapy.
You got it,
so
you got
I gotta
it buddy.
Say, you know, this season is weird, right? And it's one of those weird seasons because it's not just last night's game. I mean, take the play call timer. You know, it's also the Miami game and a few other things. And the way J17 has just been playing, it almost seems like he's back to his old ways of being too in his head. And I just go back to the fact that every year before this year, right, we've been so close. And whether it's because of a defensive coordinator or because of this or XYZ or, you know, 13, 14 seconds, whatever the case may be, this is why it's so important to make it happen when you can, because you never know when you're going to get the year that you're getting this year. And you never know when that regression is going to happen. But at the end of the day, regression comes down to one person, or maybe two in this case, which is the head coach and the GM. And I think it's time to say, as much as I love McDermott, and I truly do, and I'm grateful for what he's done for the organization, I think it's time to say, you're not the one that's going to get us over the hump. It's not you. And we need to figure that out. Because right now, what we're doing is we're wasting Josh Allen's years. And it's bothering me.
I'll go back to my what the previous caller said and ask you a question. Do you think they should do that today? And if you did, would it change anything about this season? Like, seriously, like, you know what I mean? GM and head coach.
Truth. The person that I think they should get rid of, especially after what Josh got caught on camera saying last night, it's maybe not the GM or the head coach, but it's definitely the offensive coordinator.
Okay, but that's not the question I asked because you said, hold on. But I'm trying to work through that. This is the broader issue and the broader point I'm making. You said you think that it might be time to move on, which is fine, totally fine. What I'm asking you, Nikki, is you. And what I just made a point about the previous caller is, okay, that's fine, but can we at least let the season play out and then you make that decision? Because you don't know what's going to happen. You just don't.
True.
And you're right. I mean, you could get into the playoffs. You could match up with Indy and Denver and go on a run and, oh my God, Josh Allen, MVP, and everything's a lot different. So when people say that to me, I always think like, okay, do you think that now or do you think that at the end of the season, .. if things don't happen differently? You know what I mean?
No, fine. Fair, and that's perfectly fair. And I'm going to answer your question then directly. Yes. My answer is yes, I do. I felt it since last year. I felt this at the beginning of the year.
That they should do it today, like right now.
That they should do it today, honestly.
And do you think if they fired the general manager and or the head coach today?
I'm more the head coach. Yeah, more the
head coach. Let's say they fire the head coach today. I don't know who are you bringing in today to be the head coach that would actually do it. Don't say Brian Daboll. He's getting paid by the Giants to be the head coach. I don't think he's coming here to do that, okay? It had to be somebody
exactly
on staff.
What I was going
to
say.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just
the only reason
Nikki,
I say that is because he's the only
Nikki,
one that's brought his best years.
Okay, but
he's brought his best years to life.
But Nikki, I mean, I can't speak for Brian Daboll. It just seems like a very, 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 very minute chance that would happen in the middle of a season. He's sitting at home waiting for his next move. I guess it could happen, but you'd probably have to go with someone on staff. You know how this works. You fire a coach in the season. Someone becomes the interim coach is what happens with the staff that they're working with. And then does that person get the different result that what you're hoping for? And I just think that that's so foolhardy
Yeah, I agree.
Right. You know what I mean, buddy?
Absolutely.
Now, if Brian Daboll woke up today, Nikki, and went to your house and said, I would take the job, that's a little different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just, in a nutshell, though, it just comes down to just, you know, Josh Allen's getting older, and we've been fortunate to not,
I get it.
Thankfully, not get him hurt. Even though, if you ask me, I do think he's playing hurt this year. We just don't know the whole story. But it's a waste.
I get it.
It's a waste.
I understand, Nikki. No, I'm going to get some more calls. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate your call. No, and I understand your sentiment. I think that. That's where I land. When people call up, when people do on social, fire the coach, fire the GM. You can do that now. Do you think, and maybe you do, maybe you out there think that would change the trajectory of this season. They're not going to go out and get a GM from outside the building to bring in right now to change this roster. You're past the trade deadline. All of the staff that's been doing all the work on the draft is here. That's this staff. You're going to have to elevate an interim head coach. Again, I don't know. If you want to talk about the Brian Daboll equation, we could do that. But I just think it's a non-starter at this point, you know, for something like that. But would it change? Maybe it would. Maybe people feel like, no, Sal, that would be a different voice and different direction. And, hey, I mean, we saw it in hockey. We see it sometimes, right? Long season. Blues went and won a cup when they did that. I think a couple teams have done that in the past as well. In football, it's different. In at this time of year, do something like that. I guess it could happen. I just don't think it changes now. You have to wait till the end of the year, and then all those concerns and questions and calls could be very valid. AJ in Hamburg. Hi, AJ.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. First time calling into your show.
Okay.
I just have a few points I wanted to bring up about the offense and then maybe post question after. But, I mean, my main frustration, you know, last night, that you could point to a lot of things, but it's that 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. It seemed like we were in that situation a lot of times. And you look at a team like Philadelphia or, you know, and in a situation like that, Nick Sirianni says, you know what, we're gonna sneak it twice. You got to stop us. What are we doing? We're getting too cute, as the coach wants to say. We're running it up the gut with James Cook. So Josh Allen has to take 4 steps back so James Cook can have to run 6 yards to get one. And it's just incredibly frustrating when you see in the beginning of the game, we run that sneak and we get it with ease. Josh makes a terrific play. It's like, put the ball in his hands. That's what you need to do in those situations. And time again, we're straying away from it. And it's because that Kansas City playoff game, it broke Joe Brady. He thinks that we can't do it. It's like, just do it and force your will on this team. And then you know, on top of that, just with Joe Brady, you know, everyone wanted to point the finger at Diggs. Oh, he's washed. He's this, he's that, because of that second half fall off. Well, look at where we're at now, and look at what Diggs has done. I mean, he went to Houston, he balled out, then he tore his ACL. Now he's playing very well coming off a torn ACL for the New England Patriots. And meanwhile, we're here saying everybody eats and trying to, you know, make this offense work with no number one target, because that's Joe Brady's philosophy and how he thinks it'll work. And it's panned out horribly. And, you know, at this point, I think, like, if there isn't some systemic change going on, you know, at the end of the season, I know what you've been saying to these other callers. I'm just saying that, you know, I just think nothing's going to change. And one last point, I mean, this D-line, we have invested five years. We put in premier assets, premier money into this D-line, and it's amounted to nothing. Like, absolutely nothing. I mean, it's just so incredibly frustrating, and I want to hear your thoughts, what are your thoughts on, you know, the Diggs and Brady situation? Because I just think that, you know, Brady, I think now it's proven that, you know, we were wrong with, I think Diggs said, choose me or Brady or McDermott are gone, and
We don't know that. No, we don't know that. I don't have any reason to believe that at all. I just think that the relationship wore itself out between the two sides. I would say this, AJ. I don't know if it's Stephon Diggs. I think they miss a guy like that, though. And I think, though, his personality was weighing on the organization. That's what I would say. I think on everybody, on Sean McDermott, on Joe Brady, on Josh Allen. Like, that's my read of it and how things ended here. I don't think it's choose me or him. I don't even know if he wanted to be here anymore. I have every reason to believe he didn't want to be here anymore. I mean, seemed like the year before that he was trying to get out and he didn't. So I don't want to go that far. But I do agree, AJ, that it feels like they need a guy like that. And their approach since then has been, we're not going to have a guy like that. But now you kind of need one, right? I think that's where you're going with this. And you don't have that critical guy to make that play. And this number one guy who, you know, can win in all situations. So I don't disagree with that part of it. So I just, but yeah. So anyway, so I agree with that part of it. I don't think it's him specifically. But yeah, a guy like that could really help this offense. By the way, I mean, Tyrell Shavers has this great game on Sunday last week. And then this week, I mean, he's hardly heard of. I went and did the snap counts, and he wasn't on the field that much. He was on the field for 39% of the snaps, 26 snaps. He was the fifth wide receiver on the field, Tyrell Shavers. I don't know if he would have helped. Maybe not, the way that the pass rush was and what they needed personnel-wise, but it just felt like, you know, that could have been a guy that could have helped you after what you saw last week. I'm not really sure. And that's another issue where you say, that's Joe Brady who makes those calls. And him and Adam Henry, their wide receivers coach, going through the process of the week and who's on the field and what situations. Let's go to Jim in North Tonawanda. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, Sal? Long time, no talk. Listen, I don't want to waste any time. I'm going to get straight to the point. The first thing that needs to be done before close of business today, Brandon Bean has got to take a look at these healthy players. There's 31 other teams in the National Football League with practice teams or practice squads, whatever they're calling them now. And get some healthy players in here. Figure out who's banged up, who needs to go on injured reserve. And you automatically upgrade your team by bringing in healthy bodies. And the second thing that he should do before close of business today, get a list of the top five defensive all-star players from the United Football League, bring them in tomorrow morning for a tryout. The Bills got nothing, everything to gain and nothing to lose by doing it my way. It's just try. Try. All I'm saying is give it a try. And if these five guys from the United Football League don't pan out, cut them. Get rid of them. But give them a tryout. Let's do something. Shake the system up a little bit. Think outside the box.
Okay. I'm going to totally disagree with you on that would actually help. But, hey, I guess anything is possible. Yeah, every team does have a practice squad. You know who else has a practice squad, Jim? The Buffalo Bills. And they have healthy bodies they can bring up. And those guys are more valuable to this organization than some guy that doesn't know the system. And, by the way, anytime you bring a practice squad guy onto the team, whether it's your own or someone else, it actually does cost on the salary cap to start paying them. And you're going to have to do it either way, you know, whether it's somebody else. They do every day go through the injury list. They do every day think about who needs to go on IR. They just put a guy on IR yesterday before the game, Mecole Hardman. So, you know, I mean, sure. UFL, XFL, European High School League. I don't know. Is that what you want, Jim? I mean, maybe you think it'll help, I guess. Mike in Rochester. Hi, Mike.
Sal, how you doing? I'm trying trying not to let my emotions get the best of me today and teetering between this play it out the season versus burn it all down. But here's where I'm at right now. And listening to everybody talk, I kind of...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sharing all of it. But I guess I have a question regarding the blitzing last night. I feel like, and this might just be a subjective opinion, but I feel like McDermott's always done really well with whether it be rookie quarterbacks or backup quarterbacks and just making them not feel comfortable. And watching Davis Mills early on, it seemed like he couldn't really get anything going. And what I don't understand is, why did he just rely on the inconsistent pressure of our front four instead of bringing more blitzing to try to rattle him? Right. That to me just, it doesn't make sense. And then when we needed to get a stop later on in the game and we did blitz, it worked out perfectly and we got the ball back and we were able to kind of have a chance there at the end. That's number one. Number two, with respect to the offensive line struggles last night, what's happened to bringing in guys like Alec Anderson? I remember being at the playoff games at home, and it's like number 70 is reporting is eligible, and we're always bringing in another guy to help Chip and to just give that extra protection to Josh. It just seemed like everybody at home, everybody knew that Spencer Brown and Deion Dawkins were getting beat except for them. And so I guess I just don't understand why we're not making those in-game adjustments when everybody can see it. And obviously Houston saw it too. That's why they kept doing it. So that's kind of those.
Okay. I'll answer that question for you. Because when Alec Anderson would come into the game last year, they weren't protecting Josh. Yeah, they might have a play action here or there, but it was to run the ball. He was a 6th offensive lineman run, and what they're doing this year is using Jackson Hawes in that role because he's an excellent blocker, as good as any, you know, backup lineman, I guess, at least close to it, and he can go out for a pass. I have no problem with that. I think it's actually a good strategy because you can actually show that you're going to run with 6 linemen because Jackson Hawes can be like a lineman, and then he goes out and catches a pass maybe. I'm all for trying anything different, but it wasn't like Alec Anderson was in for pass protection all the time. They would bring him in to run the ball. Now, I do agree with your other point, though, Mike, which is I would have liked to have seen a little more blitzing early on, too. But, you know, Davis Mills was very off early on. He was like 1 of 8 or 1 of 9 to start the game. It's like, hey, we don't need to blitz this guy. He's just going to be off. You know, once he started connecting, I think he did hit on like 11 of his next whatever passes, 15 or something. And, you know, maybe they should have started to dial it up a little bit more. I would have liked to have seen that. I agree. I would have liked to have seen a little more blitzing a little bit early, but I don't really have a problem with how they're not using Alec Anderson this year because it's really just the same. They're using Jackson Hawes. And they're running the ball well. I mean, that Alec Anderson came in to help run the ball last year, not to really be a protector. What's he going to do? Is he going to sit on the outside of Deion Dawkins and be an edge guy? I don't think so. That's not really what his role is or what his job is. But they didn't protect well last night. So, hey, maybe your idea or any idea could work and help out because they did not protect last night. It was a very bad night for the offensive line last night. Not a good night for the Buffalo Bills. They lose 23-19 to the Houston Texans. They now go to 7-4. On the season. We'll take a timeout here. Paul Hamilton on the way. Gonna ask him a little bit about how Terry Pegula treats the Sabres versus the Bills. Get his thoughts on that. Take a look ahead to tonight's game against the Chicago Blackhawks. Connor Bedard and the Blackhawks in town to take on the Sabres. tough couple of nights for a Buffalo sports fan. Sabres lose to the worst team in the NHL, the Calgary Flames, who come to town and beat them 6-2 on their own ice. And then the Bills go down to Houston and get beaten up physically and beaten on the scoreboard 23-19 to the Houston Texans. We'll do all of that with Paul when we return here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Hey, Joe, did you know tonight that Niagara in basketball is at Duke at Cameron tonight?
Yes, I think it's the first ever matchup between the two teams, too.
And obviously, Greg Paulus, the head coach at Niagara, played for Coach Krzyzewski at Duke. Coach K, he was a guard on the Duke basketball squad. And then Greg Paulus was Mr. Football and Mr. Basketball in New York State in high school. He was such a good football player and recruited everywhere. He actually then, after 4 years of playing basketball, played quarterback at Syracuse University. So, so now he's going back to Duke to play a game, to coach his team. Niagara's 2-2 this year. They have beaten Binghamton and Delaware State. They've lost to Lemoyne and Duquesne. And now they go to Duke tonight to take on the Blue Devils at Cameron in Durham. And that is a 7 p.m. start. So good luck to Niagara and Greg Paulus tonight. Sabres at home tonight. We're going to get with Paul Hamilton in a minute. 7 p.m. start against the Chicago Blackhawks. That game can be heard right here on WGR Sports Radio 550, along with the pregame show, which begins at 6 p.m. tonight. Bills do not play on Sunday, but these teams do. Jets at the Ravens. Tyrod Taylor now getting the starting role for the New York Jets. Ravens, Lamar Jackson pops up on the injury report, but he's kind of sore and dealing with things. Should be no problem with him playing. But Ravens, depending on how the Steelers do in their game at the Bears, could be tied for first place with the Steelers in the AFC North after this weekend. Jets 2-8 at Ravens 5-5. Steelers 6-4. They could be 7-4, taking on the Bills when they meet next week. The Bears, 7-3 right now, having a nice little season, a lot of close games. Aaron Rodgers going back to kind of his hometown, basically, right? I think he's from that area, to take on the Chicago Bears, and he's got a fractured left wrist, same thing, I guess. So we'll see how that impacts him. What's going to happen with Joe Burrow? Any word on that yet, Joe? Do we know? He might play, right? Burrow might play against the Patriots this week.
If you're asking me, I think he's going to. He's been a full participant in practice all week. I don't see you practicing and then having the Bengals, who still, I mean, if they go on a heck of a run here, mm-hmm. they might have a chance, right? So, like, I don't see them sitting him if he's available to play. Like, Flacco's also on the injury report and limited. So
I think you're right. No Jamar Chase, no Trey Hendrickson. Still a tough battle and tough hill to climb against the 9-2 Patriots and Drake May, who is one of the front runners for league MVP, and now, of course, a chance to get to 10-2 and take a really commanding lead on the AFC East in the Buffalo on the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East. That is a 1 p.m. game. Patriots at Bengals. Giants are at the Lions. Lions 6-4, try to keep pace in the NFC North with the Bears. That's a really tight division. 7-3 Bears, 6-4 Lions, 6-3-1 Packers, 4-6 Vikings, Giants 2-9 right now. They go to Detroit this week. They go to New England next week in a primetime game. No Brian Daboll there anymore. The Vikings, though, and the Packers, very, very important game in the NFC North. Still plenty of time if the Vikings can get a win here to get to 5-6. They could drop the Packers to 6-4 and be only a game behind, or 6-4-1, I should say, and be only a game behind. Then you have the Colts and the Chiefs. I mean, at this point, I think you might just want to keep rooting for the Colts, keep the Chiefs down and out of it. I don't know. Maybe you want the Chiefs to win if you still feel the Bills can win the division and catch the Colts. Last night's loss might have changed a lot of how people thought about this game and where you want to go and what you want to do with the Colts at the Chiefs. Daniel Jones shows up on the injury report for the Colts, so that's not good. The Chiefs coming off a loss last week, they are 5-5 now. After that loss 22-19 last week to the Indianapolis Colts. So a very, very important game there at 1 p.m. in Kansas City. Seahawks 7-3 at the Titans 1-9. Cam Ward starting to play pretty good football for the Tennessee Titans, but they're still only 1-9 in line maybe for a number one pick again. Seahawks just, they look really good. Even though they lost last week to the Rams after 4 interceptions from Sam Darnold, still looks like a good football team, real good football team on defense especially. Jags are at the Cardinals, 6-4 Jags. Have a chance to go to 7-4 and pass the Buffalo Bills in the standings to put the Bills in the 7th seed. Cardinals are 3-7. I mean, I just want to watch Jacoby Brissett sling the ball around, to be quite honest with you at this point. You know what I mean? So Oh, so Brian Colziel just told me Pat Malacaro is calling the game tonight with Todd Kellen. Great for Pat. He was at the shoot-around yesterday. All right, great for Pat. Pat Malacaro calling the game tonight, so appreciate that. And thank you, Brian. Appreciate you telling me that. So good luck to Duke tonight at Cameron. Good luck to, excuse me, to Niagara tonight at Cameron Indoor against Duke. Okay, Browns at Raiders. 2-8 at 2-8. Raiders not having the season they thought they would, but this is not a surprise to me. I thought the Raiders would not be very good, but I thought they had more than two wins by now, I guess. Tough division, but they just haven't gotten off the mat. Browns can't figure it out offensively. It looks like Shedeur Sanders is now going to be the quarterback. Maybe he's the quarterback the Bills face. Who knows? When that game takes place in a few weeks, their defense, Myles Garrett, still very, very good. But a little more leaky as of late, giving up 23 last week to Baltimore, 27 to the Jets, 32 to the Patriots. What happened to the Browns defense? I don't know. Still really good, but I don't know. Maybe not as good as I thought. Eagles at the Cowboys. Rematch of week one. Remember the spitting incident with Dak and Jalen Carter. Remember that? Jalen Carter and Dak. 8-2. Eagles at 4-5-1 Cowboys.
Yeah, they shut the Cowboys down pretty good. The Eagles got shut down pretty good, I should say, that week in week one.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown Eagles had like still, one yeah, fantasy
Eagles
point.
Eagles are 8-2. Like, the Bills are 7-4, right? I get it. And Eagles are 8-2. So you win, you're 9-2. It's not the same scenario. But, man, there's just a lot of questions about them by their own fan base and media over there, just like the Bills. It's crazy. Chiefs are 5-5. There's so many questions. Ravens, look at them. I mean, I always say this, folks, okay? That fans look at the team, the Bills, their team, in such a microscopic lens that you don't see what's going on around the league enough. And every team goes through struggles and goes through ups and downs and goes through, oh my God, this coordinator sucks and fire this person and up and down week to week league. Every team does. You got to look around the league. Look at the Eagles and what they're going through with their fan base right now, what they think. Look at the Ravens, and I know they're starting to charge here, but what they went through for 10 weeks, basically 9 weeks. The Chiefs for sure at 5-5. We'll get to Paul Hamilton in 1 second. Let me wrap up the Sunday slate. Falcons at Saints in the NFC South. Tough for Michael Penix Jr. out for the rest of the year with that knee injury. Buccaneers at Rams, a good football game, I think. I was impressed with the Bucs last week. 6-4 Bucs at the Rams at 8-2 are playing good football right now. And Matthew Stafford is especially as well. That is your Sunday night game, by the way, Buccaneers-Rams. Your Monday night game is Panthers-49ers. And the NFC West, who would have thought they both have winning records right now? Panthers, especially, at this point in the season. Okay, let's get to Paul Hamilton, who joins me on the Wester Hotline. The Sabres are at home tonight to the Chicago Blackhawks and Connor Bedard. And I heard Paul say the other day, and he's right, this is not your same Chicago Blackhawks team, folks. This is a team playing good hockey right now. They're 10-6-4. Bedard's having an outstanding year. After what some felt was maybe a bit of a sophomore slump last year, not the case this year, they come to town against a Sabres team that just looked awful the other night against the worst team in the league, the Calgary Flames. Good morning, Paul. How are you? And are you down at the arena? Any news to report from Lindy Ruff, who just spoke with you guys?
Only one Blackhawk is on the ice right now. Benson was a possibility for tonight, but he was out there, and Lindy said he's okay. Not able to go. I'm getting the impression maybe Sunday might be the time for him to come back. Zucker will be back for this game. Okay. I knew Colton Ellis probably wouldn't start here. I think this was his, even if he had a good game the other night, I think this was his day off. I'm a little surprised Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is the starter. I thought maybe Alex Lyon would be. But Luukkonen is in net for the Sabres. But you talked about the Blackhawks. I look at, all right, why? But Bedard, of course, is a big part of it, 29 points in 20 games. But look at their goaltending. Spencer Knight has goals against a .247 and a .922 save percentage. And Arvid Soderblom has .252 and a .912 save percentage. When you're getting goaltending like that, you're going to be a good hockey team. And this is a team that had been rebuilt. Anaheim's in the same boat. They were rebuilding. They got good young players, and now they're coming out of it. And that's the difference between these two teams and the Buffalo Sabres. They just never seem to come out of it. You know, I mean, they've rebuilt and then ripped it down and then rebuilt, and here they are again, and they just never seem to roll out of it. And that's what the Chicago Blackhawks are doing.
Okay, this is a really good segue. I'm glad. I've said I'm going to ask you this today because I've read and I get people calling me saying, well, Terry Bagul will never make changes. Look how he operates the Buffalo Sabres. And I say, okay, let me examine that for a minute. Because the Sabres have this 14-year playoff drought. And since 2013, when they originally fired Lindy Ruff, they'd had seven head coaches, counting Ruff coming back a second time. Seven over the last 12 years. They have had one, two, three, four general managers, three since firing Darcy Regier in 2013. So three since they got rid of Darcy and he was part of the beginning of the drought. All right, so it's three in 12 years general managers who don't usually get changed out as much. Now, I understand that Kevin Adams has been his position quite a long time, 5 years, 6 years going on, basically not making the playoffs. So my question to you is, would you characterize Terry Bagul with the Sabres as too patient or no, he's not too patient, he even might be impatient?
Well, for a while, you said it. I mean, he was firing GMs every two and a half years. Whether it was Tim Murray, after he fired Darcy Regier, and then Jason Botterill, and now Kevin Adams has had the job going on 6 years. This is the sixth year. So he's been given a bigger opportunity than and they were going to keep Jason Botterill. I mean, Kim Pegula had come out and said that, we know things that you don't. And, and within a month he was gone. And that was the last time Terry Pegula talked to the hockey media, which was 2020 or 21. I can't remember when Adams was hired.
It was June of 2020.
Yeah, 20. So that was the last time he talked to the media and said, we felt we weren't being heard. And that's why Jason Botterill didn't get another year. It sounded like he was going to, but Jason Botterill wouldn't demolish the hockey.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. The ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Department like Terry Pegula wanted and Kevin Adams would. So that's how that happened. And here we are 6 years later and the team's no better. You could even make a case that it's worse. And
let me go back to and ask it maybe a different way, but would you agree that he's too patient? I mean, seven head coaches to me is not too patient. And I guess I'm trying to just kind of squash the narrative, I guess, from me to think that when people say, well, he'll never make changes with the Bills because look what he does with the Sabres. I'm like, no, he has made changes with the Sabres.
Yeah, and he made changes with the Bills before he came down on Sean McDermott and Bean. I mean, they were making changes all the time too. So that's the thing. Yeah, he was impatient for a long time. Has he changed? Well, with this GM, he has. I mean, he's still changing coaches out. I mean, Don Granato got maybe 1 year longer than maybe other coaches have, but he's still changing coaches out. This is only Lindy Ruff's second year, but he is comfortable with Kevin Adams. He obviously likes what he sees and is comfortable with what he sees and is fine with it.
Sabres Blackhawks tonight down at the KeyBank Center, 7 p.m. start. What's happening in goal tonight? Do we know?
Yeah, Tuukka-Pekka Luukkonen, which I was a little surprised by. I knew Ellis was this was probably his off game, good or bad against in the last game against Calgary, And he wasn't good. That was the first game where I would say he wasn't good, but none of his teammates were either. He was right there with his teammates. It's the first game I've seen him play where rebounds were all over the place, and Calgary did capitalize on that a couple of times. But even if he played really well, I think this was the game that he wasn't going to get. I kind of thought maybe Alex Lyon would get this game, but it's going to be Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and it wouldn't shock me at all if Els was back in goal on Sunday afternoon.
Would you... How would you put them 1-2-3 in the pecking order? Is there a clear 1-2-3 right now in goal for the Sabres?
I don't think there is, but okay. I think Ellis is trending towards being number one.
Okay.
And I think but the thing is, everything is kind of a first for him. That was his first bad game in the NHL. How do you come off it? How do you react to it? We'll find out next time he starts. As I said, I would think it would be on Sunday, but nobody has said that. But now, all right, can you shake it off? Can you just, all right, that's fine. I'm going to get back to where I was. That's a key part there. So even when he was playing well, I would say he's getting the opportunity, but he's not the number one goaltender on this team yet. I think he has a long ways to go for that, but he was the one getting the opportunity, and he held on to it for a while because he was making big saves at big times and playing pretty well. You know, Lyon really started off well. I hate that his last game was 6 minutes and he got pulled. I mean, that was an awful game, and it wasn't his fault that you know, you get a breakaway right away, and it's Natchez who's the guy on the breakaway. You know, so, yeah, he didn't make a big save there, but still, I mean, how does that happen where, you know, that quick in the game, a breakaway, it's in and there's a goal. So that pulling of him was more trying to wake the team up. And it's like, all right, that's it. I mean, we're going to try to wake the team up here. And that's the last time he's played goal. So I'm sure he's just would love to get back in the net to kind of erase that from his memory.
Anything on Josh Norris after we saw him skate the other day?
Same thing. He's more day-to-day. Okay. He's still skating. He was out there today, still working. They knew he would be longer than Zucker. Zucker's back a little bit earlier. I think they were originally thinking maybe the weekend, but because he had to get his strength back, he had to start eating again. He had to get his stamina back, which he said was awful his first day on the ice when we talked to him. He's probably back one game sooner than they thought. Norris, it's hard to tell. You know, it's just how does he feel? I think they ramp him up a little more every day. How do you feel today? You good today? Any pain? You fine? Okay, let's ramp it up a little bit. And that seems to be what they're doing with him. How long that takes, I can't tell you.
All right, Paul. Well, it's getting late early, I think, here for the Buffalo Sabres. They need to start grabbing some points, even though this is a mishmash and, you know, everybody's kind of together in the East. But they're falling behind it when they lose a team like the Calgary Flames. They win tonight, they get to 20. They'll still be in the bottom, but still within striking distance here as they go forward towards the holidays. Got to let you go. I got to get out of here. Thanks a lot, Paul. We'll keep in touch tonight. And, of course, WGR550.com and at PHAM1717. Thanks, buddy.
All right, take care.
All right, that is Paul Hamilton. We'll take a timeout here. We'll wrap up the program on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And by the way, before I do that, Paul's appearance is on WGR, as always brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.